Good morning, brethren.
Good
morning. Buenos días a cada uno de ustedes. Feliz sábado. It is a privilege to be here, my wife and I. I personally love Oceanside. It's one of my favorite three sites, Oceanside and Puerto Vallarta. You know, this is like Puerto Vallarta Norte, you know. The sun, the beach, more importantly, you brethren. So happy feast day. And we're here on the eighth day, a different feast. Tabernacles is already concluded, and we're here today. A day rich in meaning, a day rich in purpose for you and I today. Let's turn with me this morning to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 39. This is also on the 15th day of the seventh month. When you have gathered the fruits of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the eternal. 7 days. We kept the feast for 7 days. The first day shall be a Sabbath. And on the eighth day, which is today, will be a Sabbath day, a separate holy day. And again, a day rich in meaning. We'll be hearing a lot about that later on today. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll spend the rest of this sermon at time in this chapter, a precursor of this day. And I want us to focus on what this day means to you and I in preparation for that great harvest that will happen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, Paul is rehearsing here the resurrection. There were some who doubted that. And Paul says, verse 20, and now is Christ in the affirmative. Now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. 22, for as Adam shall all die, even so Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Now the word order here is tagma, T-A-G-M-A, which means a sequence. Not much of a military marching band. There's the front and the rear and the middle. There's order, and in God's plan, there is order, purpose. There's beauty, even in the resurrection process. Christ the first fruits, then those who are in Christ. And there's going to be a first resurrection. And if there's a first resurrection, so that means there's going to be a second resurrection. So the first fruits are resurrected. And we see here, verse 24, and that's what I want to point out to you, this particular verse here. Then comes the end which means talos, which means a completing of a purpose, the completing of a procedure. And that doesn't mean the end of the world, but then comes the end, and Christ, he will deliver the kingdom up to the Father. Verse, in the NIV, it reads, when the end shall come, verse 24, he will hand over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed dominion, authority, and power. The Living Translation states, over the kingdom to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler, authority, and power. Verse 25, and he must reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. Now under his feet, according to commentaries, mean the ancient kings would have their thrones high, and the subjects would be below. It would be so high that the feet of the king sitting down would be above the head of his subjects. A more drastic example was, once the king vanquished the enemy, he put his foot on his head. Totally destroying the enemy, and that is Christ, what Christ is going to do. The pole of Jesus Christ in the Holy Days is there, threaded through all the Holy Days from Passover to the last day. Christ is going to come, and he's going to put an end to all the governments of this earth. And you see the purpose of Christ, his role. In his first coming, he emptied himself of divinity, came down to the earth, was resurrected, died, was resurrected, overcame death, and sits at the right hand of the Father. Here on the second coming, he's going to come, destroy Satan, imprison him, destroy all the governments, the powers, the principalities of the earth, gather his firstfruits, those that are still living. You know, he's been sending this feast. Well, Christ may not come in our lifetime. Well, if we're still alive, incredible things are going to happen at the second coming. And we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And if we're dead, it'll be like we're asleep. We'll be resurrected. So in a way, it's a win-win situation. But it's going to happen. Christ is going to return. And he's going to gather up his saints in preparation for what this day signifies. For those who have lived throughout time, never having a chance. Your grandfathers and my grandfather. Your relatives and my relatives. People who have lived never knowing the name, the only name in which you could be saved, Jesus Christ. Never knowing about the Sabbath day. Never knowing about family living. You know, young people, we've been blessed. I grew up in the church. I was dragged to church by my mom when I was a kid. And I remember learning how to have a happy family. Not a perfect family, we're far, far from perfect. But how to have a decent family life, to enjoy life without regrets, to eventually grow up, get married, be blessed in that situation, and then be blessed with kids, and now blessed with two beautiful, perfect grandkids. And went on the way. God has blessed us tremendously. Learning God's way of life. And there are people who have never known that. And you and I are training now as the first fruits to teach them. People have never known what it is to see a sunset, to live in peace, to live in abundance. Brothers, this is going to be one of the biggest re-educational program ever known. People have come through one of the most drastic times in history. Brethren, this day should excite us. We're going to hear more about that. But just like Jesus Christ emptied himself, and we read in verse 24, presented the kingdom back to the Father. He could have said, you know what, I've done all this. I should have some of it. No. In total humility, in total commitment. Working together with God the Father. You and I have been called to be part of the process, to be teachers, to teach something that we've lived every day. And no matter where you're at, whether you're a young person in the church, you're learning, whether you're a young adult, young married, middle-aged, or the elderly, you all have a purpose. You are very important to this plan. We are getting ready. The takeaway of this message is, in a world that is topsy-turvy, in a world that we have never seen before, the politics, the violence, the hatred, the hurt, the death, the diseases, God's plan moves on. That points to the holy days. The holy days still come. That point to the kingdom. And brethren, and we look forward to celebrating this eighth day to that great harvest that's going to come. You and I have been invited to participate, to be ready to teach, to be ready to show others the way. In this new year, with so many unknowns, let us rededicate ourselves with humility, submitting to God's way of life, getting ready for what this day represents, the great harvest that is to come. Have a wonderful Sabbath, brethren.